Hey, everybody, it's Dan.
And Bran.
Maybe you noticed that the Christmas Prince episodes 1 and 2 with Alonzo were removed from the playlist on your favorite podcast player. Well, they're back.
Oh, thank God.
And they're better than ever, Bran.
I would say so.
Because we made a few edits. In listening back, we want to always be mindful about what we say and how we say it, even in jest. And we made some comments about specifically Meghan Markle that we found not really appropriate in looking back on things. We want to be above board. We want to be above reproach. And we want to honor the fact that people have had real experiences and had stuff happen in their life that maybe doesn't always need to be made
fun of. That's right. Comparing Meghan Markle and what she went through to what Amber's going through in this fictional universe with this fictional family and things that don't really matter
at all
wasn't cool. And we're sorry.
We're sorry. And hopefully we've learned this lesson and you will learn it too. And we can fail forward and be better in the future. So we hope you enjoy the new and improved Christmas Prince 1 and 2, and Christmas Prince 3 comes out this Monday.
Bye.
This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I'm forced to say I love Netflix Christmas sequels.
I'm Dan. It takes no forcing at all. I 100% despise Netflix Christmas sequels.
I'm Alonzo, and I'm legally obligated to watch Netflix Christmas sequels, and this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Wow, 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 everybody. Yes. Another week closer to Christmas.
Christmas Prince 2, even princier.
Even princier.
The princiest.
That's exactly
two,
right.
Two princes.
Yeah. This one is even worse. Go ahead now. Christmas Prince 2, everybody.
Yeah. Man, if you're not waking up on a Monday raring to go for this episode, I don't know what's wrong with you.
The princening.
That's right.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
A good day to Prince 2. I don't know.
Now, I did
say... The Legend of Curly's Prince.
Yeah, name those movies. Go ahead. You should know mine.
What did you say?
A Good Day to Prince 2.
A Good Day to Prince 2.
No, okay.
Guys...
You have no chance at his.
No.
His is a City Slickers.
Bigsby Bucksby? I don't know.
Mine's Bigsby Bucksby. Mine's Die Hard. You should know Good Day to Die Hard.
Yeah. Okay, great. I love it. Yeah, I said we're 1 week closer to Christmas, and that is true, by technicality, of course. We just got announced the new summer slate.
Yep.
Which we'll be doing a preview show.
Thank God. I don't know what we do without preview episodes.
I do feel like we are due. You know, the upfronts came and went, and no, you know, announcement of Christmas number. You know, I feel like earlier and earlier they're giving us the number of what they're shooting for. We haven't heard yet. Dan and I this morning, and maybe we need to do like a Hallmark News episode.
State of the Union.
I am under the impression, and I'll give you my reasonings, but I'm under the impression that Hallmark Crown Media is a little cash strapped.
I'm in agreement with that.
They're laying people off.
They're not hiring nearly as many of the big dogs act in the movies.
Yep. They're doing Home and Family, but just like as little as possible.
Yep.
I don't know. It just something strikes me as something's amok.
The mystery movie, which we reviewed last Wednesday, and it ends on a cliffhanger, and we know that there's no more of those in the can or even signed. And that is very unlike Hallmark, but we just get the feeling that it just, I don't know how, because I thought they were doing better than any other cable company. So I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Here's the thing. And I 100% agree with you guys follow this stuff closer than I do. So this all sounds right. I'm going to say this, though. If there's one area where Hallmark is going to shoot the works and not like cut corners, it's Christmas.
That's right.
That's true.
It's too much of a golden goose for them.
And I think they can also still cut back money wise and still make the same amount of money.
Maybe like this is
there are ways that they can cut back that don't involve less movies.
Maybe this is the strategy.
It's to make Christmas, they make all their money at Christmas, but to stop hemorrhaging money the rest of the year by cutting back on some of these other things.
Could be. The big article, the stories that are being posted this week is about how When Calls the Heart hasn't been renewed yet.
I mean,
despite the great ratings, but the ratings, the demo,
it's not 18 to 55.
It's all 55 up.
That's right.
So, sure. You know, at what point do they
so many walk-in tubs you can sell people, you know?
At what point do they, you know, say, sorry, sorry, Hardys. That day would be tough.
Man,
that day would be tough.
I'm kind of looking forward to it. Like, just the outcry on Twitter from 200 really loud people, I think is going to be awesome.
But does somebody else sweep in and scoop up When Calls the Heart?
Yes.
Is that where Up or somebody decides, you know what, this is our moment to shine.
You know who would be wise to do it would be Netflix.
Yes.
Because Netflix is already trying to pull people away, or Lifetime. Like, they're trying to pull people away from Hallmark around the holidays. They can say, well, we're also going to get you the When Calls the Heart. We're not, listen.
No, we're not here.
We're not rooting for that.
No.
Lord, no. But we know. If we didn't speculate, what would we be? You know?
We'd be nothing.
We'd be nothing.
We'd have to watch more Netflix sequels.
We'd just be here twiddling our thumbs with a Christmas prince, a royal wedding.
Hey, we can't have that. No. We can't have that. But let's do it, I guess. A Christmas prince. The royal wedding. It's not just a.
Christmas prince. The royal wedding.
Yes. Okay. There is one Christmas prince. He's over there. He's just one of many.
One of many.
But this is one of many is having one royal wedding.
Fair enough.
I can't make it any clearer. It originally aired on November 30th, 2018, and it went a little something like this. So we are 1 year removed from last week. Does it feel that way?
It does.
Amber, Richard, they are still in love. They're still engaged. And they have decided that they are going to get married on Christmas Day. It's bold, but they're doing it. So Amber, or her father, Rudy, knew Rudy.
Stop same, your messing around.
Same Rudy. Fun, I guess. They travel to Aldovia to plan the wedding. And if you were thinking, Amber's not going to be blogging anymore. She's going to be a royal. No more blogging. The nerve. She's not going to give that up. She's very overwhelmed by how the royals want to do things. The protocol. As they like to say, the lack of control that she has even over her own wedding, and them trying to even control what she puts on that darn blog. She's not having it. It's very overwhelming for her. Richard is struggling with something that they're calling the new Aldovia initiative. Apparently it's not working out because money is just disappearing. Unemployment is skyrocketing. Low wages are causing people to really be upset. He gets booed at one point, and you don't want that. So they decide they're going to bring in Lord Leopold. Lord, no one knows how to get out of a sticky situation than Lord Leopold. He just gets it. And he comes in and he's like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out, everybody. Don't worry. Simon, you guys remember Simon?
Of course.
Of course.
It wouldn't be a sequel without Simon, they said. And we all agree. And so Simon's back, and welcome back into the family, because Richard's just such a good dude. They're all gathered around reading Christmas cards together, and one of them is real sad. It's like if the Joker wrote a Christmas card to the royal family. And they're all like, whoa, this is dark. And so they move on. But Amber's very fascinated by this card, this very disgruntled, unemployed worker who is just upset at the royal family and that darn initiative. And so she goes to investigate it with her friends who are over for the wedding. And they find out that the initiative has been failing because none of the work that is happening is going to local workers. It's being outsourced to these
Wait a minute.
From what I gather, they're fully closed. We don't get into it. They could might be nude. I don't know. But they're being outbid, and so it's all going outside of the country. How? Why? We don't know. The paparazzi shows up. She's in a bar doing this investigation. The paparazzi shows up. Simon swoops in. Good boy Simon. And he's there to help. And so they decide we need to research this even further. And luckily for everybody, Emily, you guys remember Emily? She knows how to hack things.
Yeah.
Because why not? And so she hacks it, and we find out that there's this company, it's Glockenspiel something. They're doing stuff, and there's money, and it's bad from what I gather. It's bad
totally
from what...
Totally nude, you're saying. Yeah,
totally nude. 100% okay. Nude. So the wedding's being planned, and finally... Amber's like, I have to take control of this. I don't want to do some of this stuff. And she's then brought in, and things are made even worse. She's going against protocol, plus she's going into bars.
Ugh.
And she's like, sorry, I was investigating my husband's bad initiative. And he's like, well, that's not cool. I'm mad at you. And she's like, you didn't stick up for me. I'm going missing. And she disappears. Richard does go to find her. And, you know, remember that little shack in the woods? She goes there. That's nice. And so finally they go back, and Amber's told all the news that they found in the hacking, great hack of 2018. And they confront Leopold. Leopold is like, yep, it's me. And so they send him to the dungeon, which does exist. Richard gives a Christmas address on the telly, telling everybody everyone's getting their jobs back. And money.
All the money.
All the money that you've ever missed, you're getting it. It seems like a logistical nightmare, yes, but yes. He said it anyways on for the Christmas time. It's time for the wedding. It happens. We're all loving it. There's a party afterwards, a reception, if you will. And they go outside to escape the conga. Can't blame them. They have a kiss. Conga can't escape it. And that, my friends, was a Christmas Prince, the royal wedding.
We did it.
That's exactly right.
Oh, boy.
They're not nude. Again, they don't say it.
They're outsourcing jobs to nude workers.
They don't explicitly say whether or not they're nude. Okay. So I assume they are.
Winters are cold in Eldovia.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Well, how else would they be getting these jobs? Mm. They have a leg up. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back.
You proud of that leg up joke?
I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll think about it later. Okay. When I'm laying in bed tonight and I'm thinking back on my day, I'll text
like
you.
Be like a thumbs up. Just one or the other.
You guys all do that, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Let's talk about this movie. Break it down. We have four segments to do that. And we always start with a hot take where we share exactly how we felt about this movie. We don't hold back. And I'm going to start with my good friend Alonzo. Alonzo, Christmas Prince 2, you happy it happened?
I think there's a reason why we don't get a lot of sequels to these movies. Mm-hmm. Generally because I think for the most part, these kind of cable Christmas movies are such fluffy confections that, you know, they exist just long enough to get you to the happy ending, and then the whole souffle collapses. So the idea that after the souffle has collapsed, we're going to prop it up again and somehow, like, you know, build another story out of these characters that are completely ridiculous. Yeah, it doesn't quite play. I mean, I think everybody's game. You know, they seem to be having a good time making this thing. They're trying to move the story along and move the characters along. So, I mean, there's definitely an effort is being expended. They're not just doing the same movie all over again. But the movie they are doing is kind of dumb.
Yeah, kind of. Wow. It's kind of you to say that.
Here's the thing. This movie feels long. I will say I didn't hate the second part of this movie, like the second half.
I was in on the mystery.
I was in on that. Once the friends come over, it's fun, I guess, for the most part. But overall, it is just unnecessary. A sequel, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I didn't need it. But, you know, the characters are likable enough and it's fine. So it happened and I'm not mad. I'm just, I think I could have done without it.
Were you going to say I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed?
I'm not even disappointed, though. I'm not disappointed. I could have done without it. Yeah. But it happened. It's here. And so here we are.
The fact that there's a third one of these is just beyond me. I don't even know where to start. This movie, there are a lot of sequels that are unnecessary just in life in general, but they all look very necessary in comparison to what we just watched. It's absurd. It is just a pure paycheck of a movie. Like, everyone is thrilled to be getting paid and to have work. And it is just a useless, useless movie. It's interminable. I cannot believe at one point I paused it. We were not even halfway done. It's really, 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 really bad. The new characters they bring in.
Nude?
Not nude.
Okay.
They're fully clothed. Got this it. Is PG, G-ish. There's a new dad, which we will get to. Not a nude ad, a new dad, which we'll get to. Rudy is new, and he's very New York. That was a little bit weird to see a new character playing the same role as a real Aunt Viv situation. There's a wedding planner something. There's a lot here, but nothing at the same time. It is 100% useless. It is one of the worst I've ever seen. Really, really, really bad.
One of the worst you've ever seen.
Ever. Because there's just no stakes in this at all. Zero. They're going to get married. They're going to figure out where the money's going. It's not like they're going to kiss at the end. At least there's this thing of fish out of water, marrying a prince. Like, at least we have that. In this movie, it is just trying to put people in situations where they've unlearned the lessons they've already learned. Like, the prince, King Richard, his mom, how many lessons can she learn at the end of every movie? It is absurd. Like, you can't be bad for an hour 20 and be like, okay, I was wrong twice in a row. Like, you can't do that twice in a row. And then he, like, all of a sudden just doesn't have time for her. And because she should know what she's getting into. You want to put inflatables out on the front lawn of the castle? Get it together. What she says, the line, she says, blogs, comma, that's what I do for a living. No, no, no. You're about to be queen. Gosh darn it. Get it together. It is one of the worst I've ever seen. Stand by.
This movie wants her to be both an investigative journalist and a woman who has spent the last year blogging about how she's going to marry a king.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's, you know, blogging might be what you do for a living, but it's only because of the other thing that you do.
That's right. It's not what you do for a living at all. And I disagree that it stands on its own entirely, because they do the same beats in the movie. They have another archery scene where she breaks something. They have another scene in the cabin that's important plot-wise. They have the queen and that other woman who changed their mind at the last minute about loving this girl and accepting the fact that things need to change. It's the same movie. It's the same exact movie, except somehow they find a way to play it both ways when it comes to the workforce. And I don't know how they do that exactly, but they do. It's awful. It's a really, really bad movie.
What do we think about Rudy too?
I mean, he's super New York.
Would you rather, are you team Rudy one or team Rudy two?
Can he make a five alarm chili?
Can he make any of those Mexican dishes? You know the kind.
Rudy one made so little impression on me that I honestly didn't notice that this guy was different until y'all mentioned.
Wow!
That.
How dare you?
I didn't even notice that it wasn't the same guy.
Stop trying so hard, Alonzo. It is such a different. It's a completely different performance. Like, Rudy one, there's a
Rudy
lot of
one
history there because he doesn't make any sense.
And he's not consistent in his accent. Rudy two
is full, like, you know, got his hands out of town.
There will
like,
be like, no hey, mistake. Hey,
mama, it's a capiche.
You know. Rudy 2 looked like they were looking for the Canadian equivalent of the guy who ran the peach pit on 90210.
Yeah, wow. Boy, that's a callback before Bram was alive. No, Rudy 2 is a treat.
It's like Rudy 2 heard our podcast somehow and was like, "Oh, I'll commit to a voice."
Right. Yeah. Don't worry.
Oh, I'll commit, guys.
You want New York? You got it, pal.
You got it.
Buckle up.
That's right.
It's time for all the feels part of the show. We talk about what in this movie gives us feels. Alonzo, feels to be had?
For most of it, I did not. I will say I kind of got dance number feels at the end, it was kind of inept. I grant you, but I thought at least they were going for something. They wanted to have the conga line. They wanted to have sort of one big splashy moment. And I particularly appreciated the fact that the Princess Emily is a DJ, because that is such a thing that a crowned head of Europe who has no other seeming function in life would do is be a DJ. You know, she probably has like a residency set up at, you know, some club in Vegas. So I totally bought DJ Princess Emily.
I love that DJ Princess Emily setup was her laptop with GarageBand open with nothing happening.
Yep.
And a turntable attached.
Yes. That's right. Don't worry, everybody. We have it all. Don't worry. I no real feels for like not even really Christmas feels. It was just like they Christmas is a throwaway.
It shows a bad tree on purpose.
I mean, I got sad. So sad.
Fill it with inflatables.
Yeah, but they also never show the tree decorated, do they?
At the very end.
They do, okay.
At the very end, it's covered in awful, awful inflatables. And that was the one time in the movie that I was on the side of the press and protocol lady.
Yes, yeah.
The like, crowd, you're right, inflatables are terrible. Don't put them in their tree.
There's a lot wrong with a monarchy that just sucks up needed funds from a country. But when they're right, they're right. Yeah. And when it comes to inflatables at the castle, they're right. I don't know how else to tell you that.
I got like womp womp feels when Emily couldn't do her play. They're shutting the whole thing down. And the custodian, to prove his point, unplugs the Christmas tree in the lobby.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's time to leave now, everyone.
Chain on the door.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I got womp womp feels. Aside from that, no feels for Brand.
I mean, I kind of got WTF feels about Simon's existence. I still, that guy must have just an absolute shark of an agent to get him negotiated in for sequels. I don't know his purpose at all. And you know, that's all I have, though. I don't have anything else.
That's fair. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I think we'll all have stuff for the wait.
No, that's it. I'm out.
We'll see what happens here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back. We're talking to Christmas Prince, The Royal Wedding, the 2018 hit.
Classic.
From Netflix. We're at the wait what part of the show where we talk about anything in this movie. Let's go wait what. Alonzo, you got some stuff?
Oh, one or two. I think I really noticed this time more than the first one. And I don't know if it's just from repeated exposure or just the different camera angles, but this is a McCastle, you know, this is a pretty minor castle. Like, it's pretty small. It's basically like a country home with some turrets.
That's right.
They really are trying to push this as the palace, and it's like, I don't know. And then on top of the fact that there seem to be more royals than staff in this movie.
Yep.
This is a very underpopulated, like, you know, service crew here.
There's a chef and two assistants, and everyone else is royal. Yeah,
basically. Yeah. And just it seems like
this is pre-COVID, so there's no excuse here.
It felt like a COVID movie where we can't have that many people. No, you're just cheap.
Yeah.
There were only so many non-Romanians you could afford to put into this movie. Apparently.
And you got to pay Simon again. So there's that. Simon.
Of course. Well, he must have really just like been a champ to work with. Yep. Always on time.
Yep. Yeah.
Good
yeah.
attitude. Remembered everybody's birthday.
A pro's that's pro. My theory.
Exactly. Sahil.
What about him? I don't.
Are we doing this? It's like I want the Martin Short character from the Father of the Bride movies, but he also should be not white. So we're gonna do this.
At least he talks in third person, Alonzo.
Oh, yeah, quickly. Like, we get to that very quickly. Just in general, just walking cringe for me.
Alonzo, we are watching the movie, and I said, what did I say?
You said Martin Short.
I said, I can't wait for this on the podcast because this is absurd, but two, this is a non-white Martin Short from Father of the Bride. That's what's going on here.
Great minds think alike.
That's right.
So I have to say, like, as much as I admire that Netflix was putting in gay characters way before Hallmark felt comfortable doing so, that we get like Sahil and, you know, office gay spare in this movie. It's like, maybe all representation isn't a good thing.
Sahil is really a microcosm for the whole movie. It's bad, it's offensive, and it shouldn't have existed. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
He's a metaphor for the whole series.
That's right.
The notion that you would know immediately when federal money is being bled dry and that wouldn't show up in an audit 3 years later.
If only.
Sure. Toboggan green screen.
Oh boy. It was bad.
That was wild.
Painful.
Yeah.
Painful.
Yeah. It looked like an attraction at Carowinds. That's what it looked like. They weren't even trying.
Yeah, I mean, it was like they barely had wind blowing on them. Like, it was like watching those old movies where Annette Funicello is surfing and somebody's like spraying water in her face from off camera. Like, it was that bad. So if the country's labor force goes on strike to protest the new initiatives, so does that mean are the four people on the royal staff scabs because they're still at work?
Yeah,
they're still setting up the Christmas pageant and doing all that stuff. She writes down the word fishy.
Yep. That's a classic.
Yep.
That's right up there with fraud.
Fraud? Question mark. Oh yeah, same boat for sure. Just not on a post-it note.
I wrote down what the wedding is really about, but I forget why that's dumb, but I'm sure it was dumb. Why is Simon the best man at this wedding?
Yeah.
Like, I know
I didn't even notice small, he was. That's funny.
Does he have no friends or other relatives at all? Like, no. Yeah, you tried to stab me in the back a year ago, but please stand by me.
You were an ultimate villain. You literally tried to steal the crown. Like, you're... Yeah. You know, you're a Shakespearean bad guy, and now you're the best man of the king. It doesn't make any sense at all.
And then finally, the shot at the very end of when they put the crown on Amber for the first time. This is going to be before y'all's time, but have you ever seen the old Imperial Margarine commercials?
No.
Where the crown would magically appear on somebody's head?
No, but I'm here for it.
They were ridiculous, and they were intentionally ridiculous. So, like, you'd have somebody who was just like wearing their bathrobe and eating breakfast. They'd eat a piece of toast with the Imperial, and boom, this like big crown would appear on their head. She looked like she was wearing the Imperial margarine.
The crown. Imperial margarine crown.
I love it.
Gonna look it up. I can tell you that.
Absolutely. I have a handful. One is she knows the exact second that she said yes.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, the hour or the minute. It wasn't just, you know, 12:01.
No. Seconds included.
Because this is after,
well,
you know.
Well, it was midnight, right?
It was midnight, but it was midnight when she was still in the diner.
That's right.
She watches it happen, and then he throws the snowball. It's not like,
how do you measure a year?
You know, you're so right.
In cups of coffee.
Yeah. Yes. It just caught me off guard. At one point, they have all the kids in the back in the kitchen, and somebody is pouring hot chocolate like
everywhere.
A maniac.
Everywhere.
He's just lining up chocolate cups and just going, and hot chocolate is falling everywhere. It's a waste. Just like take the time and pour it correctly. Listen, we all hate royal families, right?
Yeah.
I can absolutely imagine that something a royal family does every year is gather around and read Christmas cards out loud to one another. That seems like a royal thing
to
do.
They would have to all be in the same room together, and that's where I find it hard to believe. Yeah.
Let's all, you guys all want to get together and just read all the cards?
Even the bad ones.
Even the bad ones.
We'll hang up the bad ones.
We'll hang them up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no staff member is going to like filter through these first and make sure we don't read the ones that tell us to drop dead.
That's right.
Rudy, who says everything as if it is a saying, does say that he always says, don't let the naysayers bring you down.
That's right.
That's the saying that he says all the time.
It's a classic Rudy.
Which is the least Rudy thing to say.
That's right.
He would say something like, you know what I say about naysayers? They're nothing but Stromboli. Like, that's something he would say.
Throw at least one python in there.
There'd be something
somewhere.
This Rudy.
About eagles and turkeys, maybe.
Rudy doesn't say this. I'm not buying it. Yeah. Not the real. Not my Rudy.
You know what I always say? Don't let the naysayers bring you down. Okay,
it just goes. That's a lot of syllables for Rudy.
That's right. It is.
Rudy, that's not my Rudy. Leo gave up really fast. Like,
he said,
no, it's not me. Here's a piece of paper. Ah, shucks.
That looks like the same printer they use for the birth certificates. Yeah.
Exactly. And I would have gotten away with it for you darn kids.
That's right. And this laser jet printer.
Richard gives a Christmas speech on TV and he rips up his old speech and he does three rips, which I just feel like was like one too many when you're live on TV. Yeah. It was.
Point has been made.
I made it. I did it. And last but not least, you know, I'll save this one for the homework.
Okay. I believe it or not, with all you guys just laid waste to the movie, and I've got a half a dozen over here still you haven't touched.
Of course.
They get to Aldonia, the airport, and they think they're going to take a cab, I guess. And then she goes, "No, Dad, the royal limos are here." And I just want to point out that the royal limos are just BMW's new line of luxury automobiles. One is a sedan, one's an SUV, one looks like kind of a hybrid crossover model. None of them are limousines. They're all just a BMW that you can buy at your local BMW dealer. That's all they are. Like, it is an obvious... Go ahead.
They're not even picking them up because, you know, they're in the red zone for loading and unloading.
Yeah, they're just dropping.
Like, hiked down the sidewalk, chased by paparazzi.
The royal limos happen to be there, and none of them are limousines.
It's Uber Lux, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Uber Black. You pointed out, Alonzo, that the castle is not much of a castle, which makes this one even harder to stomach. They take her to her bridal suite, and she is blown away by what amounts to a bed and a living room. And you know what? If you've never seen the castle before, or if this is a Christmas Prince 1, Lord help us remember those good days. Like, yes, you can be blown away by that. But if you've been engaged and living on and off at this, like visiting the castle for over the year, you no longer have the right to be astounded by a bed and a living room in the castle. And she just cannot get over it. Like, she's never seen something like that before. I just can't imagine it. At one point, the little princess, I don't remember her name, Emily, is that her name? Emily is playing piano with the help of the butler, and they're playing "O Come All You Faithful," and then the butler gets up and says, "If you'd ever practice, you could play that by yourself." Okay, so what you're telling her is the motivation for you to practice piano is so you can play "O Come All Ye Faithful" by yourself?
With your right hand.
Yes, with your right. I just don't. That's a pretty easy one, guys. It just is. There's one point in the movie where the prince wants to take the soon-to-be queen out on a horseback ride. You know, to kind of, it's a callback from the first movie where she sees the wolf and, you know, remembers her training and sits down and he's like, "All right, let's get on these horses." And then he says, "No wolves, I promise." How do you promise that? How can you promise that there's going to be no wolves? Did you go have all the wolves shot? Did you make a population go extinct? I don't know how else you can promise no wolves.
He got into a helicopter and shot them all.
He just got up there. That's right.
She saw what she did the first time and she said, I cannot risk this again.
That's right. No, no, no.
She will most definitely sit down again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No, I just can't. I not can't. On
I
my see watch. It
and I immediately just go freeze and sit. That's what you do with wolves.
Freeze and sit.
Yeah. Make him make it easy. Where is the prime minister? We meet him once in this movie, and the prime minister, it's his job to deal with all of this. Like, he's like the president. Like, he just he is leaving the king out to dry. We meet him one time. He makes small talk with the people from out of town, and then we don't see him again. Where is he? What's he doing?
I don't.
He spends Christmas in Sansanova.
Sansanova.
Yeah, they need a prime minister. He's sure falling apart. Speaking of which, the audacity to not pay any day laborer their wage. And the unions to go on strike and for them to say, but you know what we have to do? This children's play must go on. It must go on. We would be inhumane if we didn't let these children badly read their lines on a makeshift stage in the castle. We would. I know there are people starving that can't put food on the table, but look.
Emily's got a big kiss.
She's
got a big kiss.
She's got to get kissed somehow.
Good gosh. That was brutal. That was tough to watch. And then Melissa and Andy, her two friends, they show up at the castle. And Andy meets Princess Emily and does this big thing. And Melissa says, you'll have to excuse Andy. This is his first royal wedding.
She's been to tons, however. Yeah.
Melissa is just globetrotting, getting invites to all the royal weddings everywhere. Like, who do you think you are? You're unemployed. You're not going to a bunch of royal weddings. Get out of here. I don't understand that line. I just can't. I don't know how that made it in the final script. You're a big royal wedding boy.
Oh,
you're somebody. Seat saver.
Seat saver.
You just fit right in those events.
Sorry,
I'd go to the bathroom.
Someone's coming. I lay out my jacket across. I bring multiple jackets.
In this one picture, everybody looks normal. In another picture, there is some sort of cross between man and Muppet down there. I don't know where he came from. Well, it's just weird. It's weird.
See, the caterers? I don't know.
Yeah.
Can we at least give a little appreciation to actual Hallmark for the decor of a Christmassy room? Because this castle, this palace, has these just limp little red ribbons just hung on the wall.
Sad. Not even serious location.
Just so there's something in the frame that says, oh yeah, this is a Christmas movie.
Well, I think that they saved a bunch of money in the budget. And what they did is they had her give the line about, I want the inflatables. And the crown said no. And then they just basically let you think this is a battle she hasn't won yet till the end of the movie. And they saved the money that way. But it's bad regardless.
Just watch The Christmas Prince. They wish it could be what Netflix will never do. Hallmark. Sad.
I was so happy we were done with that impression.
Sad.
What are you typing on? Is it a new social social?
I'll let you know in a couple months.
Okay,
we'll see what happens.
Cool.
See how it develops.
It's a nude social network.
Oh, now I'm just gonna throw up over here real quick. We did it.
Oh boy, we're not gonna go down the rabbit trail. No, we're not.
We already did.
No, yeah. Well, there's even more. There's a rabbit trail on that. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's do what the flicks here. Where we wonder what could have been, maybe happen, give some clarity to the questions that we still have. Alonso?
I think there needs to be like a Mystery 101, whatever the Netflix equivalent of that, the Netflix Movies and Mysteries, where it's Princess Emily Hacker solving mysteries with Office Gay.
Hey, I love
think
it.
Somehow I think those two could really make some magic together.
I love it.
I agree 100%. I love that. I also, have a Emily question and then just another random Meghan Markle question. One is at the end, the conga line that you liked, they leave to go outside to avoid that situation.
Yeah.
And the conga line then comes to them and the music's getting louder as the group is coming out. Yep. Did Emily does she have a speaker with her Did she like soup up the wheelchair with a nice speaker?
Little speaker.
Like, that's the only, like, that'd be a pro DJ move.
Yeah, that would be.
She hacked into the castle speakers. They had some external ones.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot. Dan?
So in the wild cookie baking, hot chocolate going, just kitchen, just run amok scene with all the kids in the kitchen. The Princess Emily and the kid that she's crushing on, they have a little moment where the kid, she has frosting on her nose and the kid wipes it off. Great moment. Later in the movie, the woman who's trying to shut everything down on the princess's blog, points out, why are you putting these pictures on your blog? And it's a picture of that scene with Princess Emily having icing on her nose. And I want to point out, there's no one in there taking pictures when that scene is happening. So is there some elaborate photo system, camera system in the castle?
I think there might be some shots of her with her phone, like kind of clicky clicking.
She's in there with her phone?
Yes. I think they threw in one or two shots.
I didn't see her in that scene. Like her. Like
maybe my brain put that scene in there to explain the blog, but I could swear that's the thing that happened.
We'll go back and look. We'll take it to the tape. Yeah. We'll have to take it to the tape.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you all seen Superman 2?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. You know the evil Kryptonian lady?
She's in the crystal, right?
She's trapped in the album cover with Terrence Stamp.
Yeah,
that's the Protocol Lady.
What?
Yes.
Oh my goodness! Never saw it coming.
The Press and Protocol Lady is one of the bad guys from Superman 2.
Oh my goodness! The more you know,
and I can die happy now. we did it, and I've got good news, everyone. They made another.
Come on.
They made a third one. We get to see what a baby looks like.
I mean,
have you ever seen a baby? You know, all babies look different.
I can't imagine the utmost respect they're going to treat the third movie in this trilogy with. Like, I'm already excited. Maybe
it's just an hour and a half of labor.
Maybe
it's beautiful, everyone. It's beautiful.
But there are people wearing crowns.
There are crowns everywhere,
and there's like one Christmas tree in the corner.
There had better be a crowning joke.
Oh.
Bang, 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 bang.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum. Hey!
Yeah.
We did it, everybody. Alonzo, thanks for being here again. Sorry for next week. We can't wait.
In advance.
Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Is produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.